To Galatians chapter 3. And you'll remember we handled the verse 5 the last time we were together. Galatians 3:5, by way of review, ministered to you the Spirit, worketh in you, with it by the law, the hearing of faith. Question was, that's what Paul wanted to know. And of course, the answer to who supplies the Holy Spirit at the time of the new birth is God. It's a gift given by God. And Paul continued and he asked them, he says, does he do this by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? God supplied the Holy Spirit to people in response to their faith. God produces miracles in and by and among you by your adherence to the law or by the basis of your faith in His Word. That was a question he was asking. And of course, miracles, signs, etc. are wrought by faith. And the last thing I said when we were together was that a works-based gospel is a counterfeit gospel. However, that a gospel that inspires us to good works is a gospel that is well-pleasing to our Father. So one of the translations of Galatians 3:5 reads, does God give you His Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe in what you hear, you heard? And of course, that's in that present active, so it would really mean, does God continue to supply and continue to work miracles among you? Now we get to verse 6 where we read, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The word even is kathos in the Greek, and it could be translated even, it could be translated according, it could be translated just as, even as, in the degree that, etc. So, even as, those words from kathos, could also read just as, or another way you could translate kathos is in the same way. Another way you could translate it would be consider, or even so. Even as Abraham. Now, of course, you know who Abraham is. And the word Abraham means a father of a multitude. Abraham is the founder of the Jewish nation. The next word in this sentence is believed. The word believed is pistuo. Strong's writes of pistuo, to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to credit, to place confidence in. He says it's used in the New Testament of the conviction and trust to which a man is impelled by a certain inner and higher prerogative and law and soul, whatever that means. It's translated, believe, most of the times, this word pistuo. It's translated, you know, a couple other times in the Bible by other words, but the majority, 239 of its 248 usages in the King James Version, it's translated with the word believe. And it says that even as Abraham believed God, of course the word God is in the text, and it's represented by the word theos. Even as Abraham believed God. So, I want to stop at that particular point, and I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Genesis 15, because I'd like to go now and see where this record of Abraham believing God is recorded. In Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Now, if you take the time to read chapter 14, you'll see Lot got himself in trouble, gets himself carried away, and Abram goes after him and gets him, meets up with Melchizedek, gives him tithes of what he owns, etc., etc. That's what "after these things" is referring to. And verse 2, Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" In other words, God's telling, or Abram's telling God, you know, "I don't have anybody. I don't have any natural born children." And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one of mine own house, one born in my own house, is mine heir." In other words, I don't have anybody born in my own house to be my heir. Verse 4 says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir." In other words, he had a steward. He asked the steward, this steward of his house was going to be his heir, okay? And Abraham's talking back to God, and he says, "I don't have anybody except this guy, Eliezer of Damascus." In verse 5, it says, "And he brought him forth." God brought Abram forth. "And he said, Look now towards the heavens, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed singular be." Verse 6. "And he," Abram, "believed in the Lord, and he," God, "counted it to him for righteousness." So Abram believed in the Lord, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Now, why does Paul refer the Galatian church here back to the story of Abraham? And why specifically is he bringing up this particular record? Well, who takes pride in their pedigree as Abraham's seed? The Jews did, right? Sure they did. Look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. You just don't want to read the words off the page. You want to understand what you're reading. And in order to understand what you're reading, you got to understand the context. You got to understand the flavor, the mood of what's being said and why and where it's being said. In Luke chapter 3, verse 7, speaking of John the Baptist, "Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him." These people are coming to him, and he's going to minister to them. He's going to baptize them. And this is what he said, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Now, you know, if a minister stood up in a pulpit today and the whole congregation came in to hear the minister speak, and the minister opened up his sermon with, "O generation of vipers," that's not a good way to build your church, right? But this is what John the Baptist said. So here you see again the working of a prophet, because a prophet has to speak for God, and a prophet is not concerned first and foremost with the people's response. He's first concerned with God's word and God's response. "Bring forth," verse 8, "therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." They came, but they didn't come for the right reasons. And he encouraged them to come with a repentant heart, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, the fruits of their hearts, their minds, their thinking. And he said, "And by the way, don't think just because you're of the seed of Abraham, you have a right to anything." You see, the Jews put stock in their bloodline. And if they could track their lineage back to Abraham, they walked around with their chest out and their nose up in the air, because they were Jews, they could track their bloodline back. Romans chapter 4, please. But what the Jews won't tell you today is that Abraham was a Gentile, because the Jewish nation did not get to come into existence till later. So if the Jews tracking their descent back to Abraham, they're actually tracking their descendants back to a Gentile. And I want you to also know, I believe Abraham was some 430 years before the law of Moses was given. And yet, they still track themselves back to Abraham and say, Abraham is our father. All right. Romans 4, I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living Translation. Verse 3 says, for the scripture tells us, Abraham believed God, so God declared him to be righteous. Verse 4, when people work, their wages are not a gift. Workers earn what they receive. Is that correct? When you work all week, at the end of the week or at the end of every 2 weeks, you expect a what? A paycheck, because you worked for your wages. And that's what he's saying here. When people work, their wages are not a gift. Workers earn what they receive. But, verse 5, people are declared righteous because of their faith, not because of their work. King David spoke of this, describing the happiness of an undeserving sinner who's declared to be righteous. Not because they worked for the righteousness. They earned their righteousness by faith. It was a gift. The American Standard of Romans 4:9 says, is this blessedness then pronounced upon the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say to Abraham, his faith was reckoned for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. One of those Bible verses in the scriptures that asks the question and gives the answer. You know, another one comes to my head is, you know, this dad called a record heaven and earth that you do this and do that, and then the next verse says, do right that you may be blessed. It gives you the answer. Abraham didn't receive the promise and wasn't reckoned righteous after he was circumcised. Because if you read the record and you do a timeline, you'll see that Abraham was circumcised much later. He received the promise and was counted righteous by God before he was circumcised. You understand? So what he's saying now, so Abraham, it's possible to be counted righteous by faith alone, not needing to be circumcised, and what else? And not needing to adhere to the letter of the what? Law. Because why? Was the law around? He couldn't. He would have. Right? Sure he would have. He's a righteous guy. But did he have a law he could adhere to? But God still what? Placed him in a position, counted him righteous. Romans chapter 9, please. Romans 9, beginning in verse 30. Paul's just trying to reason with these people, the Romans, and he says, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith, Romans 9:30. In other words, they didn't have the law, they didn't have the decrees, they didn't have all of the things, they didn't follow after righteousness the way the Jews did, okay? But they obtained this righteousness because this righteousness, which is of what? Faith. But Israel, verse 31, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not obtained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by what? Faith. But as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Why didn't Israel obtain to this righteousness? Because they tried to earn their righteousness by the law and by their what? Works. But the righteousness that God wants to impart to people doesn't come by works, and it doesn't come by a law or an adherence to a law or any law. You are not made righteous by adhering to a law or any law. You are not made righteous by your works. And people have been trying to become righteous and stay righteous by their works all their life. It's not done by that. The righteousness that God places to your account is received by faith. By faith. Verse 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling block, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But whosoever shall not believe on him is going to be ashamed. That's Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, excuse me. Galatians 2. So we see that the Jews were trying to earn their righteousness by works, by adhering to a law, by boasting in their circumcision. We saw that it wasn't just an issue in the church of Galatia. Paul had it confronted in Romans, and he confronted it throughout other various church epistles because people wanted to work their way and earn their righteousness. Now, I want you to remember who we're dealing with, and I want you to remember the context of the book and the chapters of Galatians that we're reading. For instance, Galatians 2, verse 11. Look at what some was going on in the church. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. An apostle confronting another apostle, or a man of God confronting an apostle. Because apostles are not perfect. They make mistakes. And if you don't confront a person who makes a mistake, you're worse than that person if you know they're making a mistake because you're allowing them to continue in error. Now, there's a way to confront a person. I understand that. Because if you confront a person and you are dead right in what you are holding in your mind, and you confront them the wrong way, then you just don't open your mouth. If you can't speak to someone in love and respect, keep your stupid mouth shut. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Because then nobody's going to hear you. They're not going to hear you. Jesus Christ never reproved or corrected a person like that within the church. I mean, even Judas, how did he handle him at the Last Supper? You know, that which thou doest quickly. He didn't. There's a way to confront people. And if anybody had the right to confront harshly, it would have been him. Because he was always right. See, when we confront like that, we place ourselves in a position where we think we're untouchable and we are never without error. We never make a mistake. You know? So the next time you speak to someone, just think, how would you like to be spoken to if you made a mistake? You ever break the spirit of a dog or a horse? You ever see what a dog or a horse is like after you break their spirit? You know what they're worth? Nothing. You want to do that to an individual? You break the spirit of an individual, you know what they're going to be worth? Nothing. And I'm going to tell you another thing. You break the spirit of a minister, you know what he's going to be worth? Nothing. And you know what he's going to do then? He's just going to go through the motions. That's why if you're going to stand for God, you can't be weak. You can't cry every time somebody says something. You can't crumble at adversity. You can't do it. Just don't try and do it. You have to be able to stand. Not in a, I'm a know-it-all, but you have to be able to stand if nobody stands with you. Peter needed to be confronted. Paul did. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the what? There you go. Somebody from headquarters came out, said something stupid, and now all of a sudden, I'm not your buddy no more because I'm the Gentile. That's what happened. That's what happened. He cowtailed to his stupid leadership. Paul saw it. It was wrong. He nailed it. The way Peter responded is his business. At least Paul nailed it. Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This is what's going on in the church of Galatia. People following copped out leadership, people afraid of leadership, people operating spirits of witchcraft, people talking about circumcision, you need to do this, people talking about the law, you need to do that. Galatians 6:15. Repeat it again, look at it. For in Jesus, or Christ Jesus this time, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And then he goes on and really hits the Jews hard. This is what he says in verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. That's what he's saying. You wonder who the true Israel of God is? It says, as many as walk according to this rule. That's the true Israel of God. The children of Abraham are those who believe. They are not children of Abraham because they are born from Abraham's flesh and blood. The Jews, especially the leadership of the day, attached a saving value to the genealogy of Abraham and being able to trace their way back to him. They said, we are the seed, we are the children of Abraham. Remember John the Baptist had to confront that? Say not to yourselves, you know, we're from children of Abraham. Look at Luke chapter 18. You see, if being a son of Abraham got you saved and your whole good works thing, then the Jews would have been right in what they were saying in Galatians. But just because you could trace your bloodline back to Abraham and you were doing all these works, adhering to these laws, didn't mean that that got you saved in this period of time. Luke 19, look at verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a what? Son of Abraham. See, being a son of Abraham in and of itself didn't constitute that the man had salvation. Salvation had to come to that house through a different way. But the Jews said, we're sons of Abraham. We can trace our thing back. They thought that in their works constituted, we're going to reserve us a ticket to the kingdom. That's not the way it worked. Ishmael and Isaac were both the natural children of Abraham, correct? Sure it is. By rights, Ishmael should have enjoyed the prerogatives of the firstborn. according to culture. If physical generation had any special value. Nevertheless, he was left out in the cold, and Isaac was the one who was called. Now, I'm telling you that because I know what's in chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Galatians. You go read it for yourself because you're going to see all of these examples come up. And they all come up, Paul's using all these examples to confront the copped-out leadership and the copped-out teaching that the leadership implanted into the congregation of the Galatian people. Chapter 4, for instance, verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, Galatians 4, 28, are the children of promise. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Who's the we? He's including himself in the church. You understand? Look what he says in the next verse. But as then he that was born after the flesh, who was born after the flesh?
Ishmael.
Persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, who was born after the Spirit? Isaac. Even so it is what? Isn't that remarkable? What's he telling them? He's telling them the children of promise. And then you got that which is of the flesh and following the laws of the flesh and the things of the flesh. And just as the promise and the faith came, the righteousness by faith, all that, they got persecuted because of that. Back then, he says, the same thing's happening today. In other words, it's just happening all over again. Who's he referring to? He's referring to the Judean leadership in the church of Galatia that's doing the persecution to the children of the what? Promise. Because they got the promise by what? Faith. But they want them to earn it by what? Works and the law. All right. Galatians chapter 3 again. Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The word accounted is the word logizomai, and it means to reckon, to place into one's account, to pass on to one's account. It was accounted, it was placed in his account to him for righteousness. The word righteousness, Strong says in a broad sense, it means a state of him who, as he ought to be, righteous, the condition acceptable to God, placed in a condition where he's acceptable to God. He also says the doctrine concerning the way in which man may obtain a state approved of God. The doctrine concerning the way in which a man may obtain a state approved of God, which is what? By faith. Simply put, by faith. Two words, good doctrine. Beginning with Abraham, who was called the friend of God and made righteous, and he was saved in that period of time. He was saved and made righteous in that period of time, not because he left his country, not because he left his relatives, not because he left his father's house, not because he was circumcised, not because he stood ready to sacrifice his own son Isaac, in whom he had a promise of future generations, not because he adhered to the law. Abraham was justified and counted righteousness unto his sake because he believed, because he had faith. Paul's argument may have sounded something like this. Since this is the unmistakable destiny and testimony of Holy Writ, why do you take your stand upon circumcision and the law? Was not Abraham, your father, of whom you make so much of, justified and saved without circumcision and the law by faith alone? The New International of Romans 4:5 reads, however, to the man who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. You can't earn your righteousness by works. Galatians chapter 3. And beginning again in verse 5, it reads, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The answer to the question in verse 5, where it says, doeth it he by the works of the law or the hearing of faith, is taken for granted. In other words, it's a rhetorical. They know the answer. The question answers itself to the people. It was by the hearing of faith. Nobody argued with that. Following this, he says, even as Abraham believed, God supplies unto you the Spirit as a result of faith, not works, just as Abraham obtained justification by faith, not of works. Where justification is, there is the Spirit. And so in the former, it comes by faith, the latter must also. Paul therefore concludes, they that are of faith are the children of Abraham. See, verse 6 is a continuation of verse 5. Verse 5 said, you know, God supplied to them the Spirit. He continues to work miracles around among you. How did he do this? Some of the other translations of verse 6 don't say even as. Some of the other translations start out like the Peshitta, for instance. It reads, in like manner, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You see? God who supplies you these things, God who continues to work with you, how's he do this? By the law or by faith? Well, just like that, in like manner, in other words, Abraham, he didn't get these things by works. He got these things by what? Faith, believing, whichever one or both. Galatians 3:6, the New American says, thus Abraham believed God and was credited to him for righteousness. The NIV reads, consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credit to him as righteousness. Now remember, read verse 6 after you read verse 5. He asked a question, then he goes on, he says, well, consider Abraham. How did he receive it? And who did he receive it from? He believed who? God. The New Jerusalem reads, Abraham, you remember, put his faith in God, and this was reckoned to him as righteousness. Young's literal, it reads, according as Abraham did believe God, and it was reckoned to him to righteousness. I'm going to read you verses 5 through 7 out of the New Living. This is how Galatians 3, verses 5 through 7 translate out of the New Living. This is how they write it. Verse 5, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law of Moses? Of course not. It is because you believe the message that you heard about Christ. In the same way, Abraham believed God. So God declared him righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are all those who put their faith in God. I believe verse 6 further explains verse 5, that it's speaking about God. In closing, I want to read to you some comments that Martin Luther made when he wrote regarding Galatians 3, verses 6 and 7. Now, he was speaking on the subject of faith. Luther said, "Faith should be the foremost service any person can render unto God. Faith in God constitutes the highest worship, the prime duty, the first obedience, and the foremost sacrifice." I thought this was interesting. The first duty of man is to believe in God and to honor Him with his faith. Faith is truly the height of wisdom, the right kind of righteousness, the only real religion. This will give us an idea of what excellency of faith is. Men pray, fast, watch, suffer. They intend to appease the wrath of God and to deserve God's grace by their exertions, their works. But there is no glory in it for God, because by their works, these workers pronounce God an unmerciful slave driver, an unfaithful and an angry judge. They despise God. They make a liar out of Him. They snub Christ and all His benefits. In short, they pulled God down from His throne and they perched themselves on it. Faith truly honors God. And because faith honors God, God counts faith for righteousness. Ain't that something? Because it's something that you don't work at. It's your salvation. You can't say, "I got a better salvation than yours," or "that I earned a better salvation," or "I did more." It's just that faith in what God's Word says that you accept that's the best thing to do in your life, regardless of what the circumstances say. And that's what God looks at. Now, if you have that faith and you get to the place where you need to be, then will God honor and look at your works that you're doing because of faith and because of the love that you have in your heart? Absolutely. But if you're doing those works and following those laws to try to get to that righteousness that is only provided to you by faith, it will not work. Or if you're doing those works and following those laws so that you may continue in that righteousness, which is only provided to you by faith, guess what else? That doesn't work either. Because faith is a righteousness is a gift of God. It's a sonship right. And it's one of those things that are given to you because you couldn't earn it and you don't deserve it and you only get it on the merit of what Jesus Christ did and you come into God's throne by pleading the blood of Christ and receiving it by that faith. That's what it is. And you see, when Paul spoke these truths to the Galatian church, you got to understand, those people came around and they were saying to those people at Galatia, "You need to be circumcised. You need to obey the law of Moses." We saw that in the first 5-6 verses of the chapter. And so Paul went back and he says, look, even these guys themselves, they call themselves the children of Abraham. They call themselves Abraham's seed. They all swear and attest to Abraham. Well, let's take Abraham for our example. Did Abraham get his righteousness by circumcision, by adhering to the law, by doing all these rules and regulations that you're saying that we got to do now? Even Abraham, when he believed God, it was accredited to him for what? Righteousness. These guys claim to be Abraham's children, and yet they're telling you opposite of what Abraham himself went through. You understand? That's what he's confronting them with. He's confronting them with the logic of Abraham. Because, see, if he wanted to say about Paul, or if he wanted to say about this, they could argue that. You understand? But they couldn't argue Abraham. Because they all embrace Abraham. And yet, were they doing the works of Abraham? No, because remember in the Gospel of John, what did it say? Jesus Christ is confronting the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they said, "We're Abraham's seed." And he turns around and says to them, "I know you're Abraham's seed." He says, "But If Abraham was here, he would hear me. This you do not do. I'm a man that's spoken to you the truth. What do you want to do? You want to kill me. See, he knew they came from Abraham the way Ishmael came from Abraham. But they didn't come from Abraham the way Isaac came from Abraham. Faith, the promise. And he goes on a couple verses farther and says, your father, let me tell you who your father is. Your father is the devil, and you'll do the deeds of him. See? That's what they said. We have Abraham to our father. And like six verses later, he tells them who their real father is. So they took pride in Abraham. You understand? Nobody could talk about Abraham in front of a Jew. So Paul uses the logic of Abraham, and he's saying, look, even Abraham got his righteousness by faith, by what he believed, not, you know, you guys are turning around trying to do the opposite. So that's why he uses the argument. Okay, let's pray. Father, thanks for your word, and thanks for covering the areas that I don't understand, Father. And the point is this, Father. It's not by works. It's by faith, Father. It's not by something we can do. It's something that you work in us, Father, and we say yes to. Thank you, Father, that our hearts are right, that you can continue to teach us and prepare us for the things that you have upcoming for us to do. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. For us to do. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen.